Yeah, welcome into the Wednesday edition. Robbie and Rexrode, 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexrode, Ian Safar here with you on this Wednesday morning, live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Joe Rexrode, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing just fine. Just looking forward to PK today.
Yes.
I enjoyed some Stillian Poly yesterday.
I saw that. Your lifelong dream coming true.
It was good. I texted him afterward, and I was like, it was good, guys. But, you know, don't be afraid to tell each other to F off every once in a while. I mean, Stilly, he's just really loving being able to swear now.
He is.
And boy, he really enjoys it. He
leans into it. Ian Safar, how we doing? What's going on?
Oh, good morning. Watching a little Smash Mouth on Charmed this morning.
Oh.
So I'm getting things started off fantastic. Thanks.
Smash Mouth is on
band.
There? Wow. Yep, we're flipping
another
the
band that's
right
better
now.
Than the Beatles. Smash Mouth.
Yeah.
Line them up.
Exactly. I like
Love Smash Mouth.
Love Smash Mouth. They're all right, man. Yeah,
the soundtrack of the late 90s, early 2000s, baby.
Yeah.
Who doesn't love Shrek?
Alyssa Milano likes them, too.
Yeah, she does. We got a lot of things going on the program today. Paul Kuharsky will be with us in the second half of the show. We will get into the happenings of the week with the Tennessee Titans, which include a coach firing. And by the way, Mike Vrabel coming back to town as well. So we will get into all that coming up throughout the show here today. Take your thoughts all show long. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. Joe, Mike McCoy spoke yesterday, now the interim head coach for the Tennessee Titans. And look, I watched the entirety of Mike McCoy's press conference. I thought he handled things fine. Thought he did a good job. You know, I don't know that I walked away thinking to myself, well, the victories are about to start rolling in for the Tennessee Titans because Mike McCoy is now at the helm. But, I mean, look, you can tell the guy's been a head coach before, been around for a long time, and maybe this can mean good things for Cam Ward. We'll see what happens on that front. He brought up a couple times yesterday, the different quarterbacks that he's worked with. He was asked about working with Trevor Lawrence in Jacksonville and how maybe that experience helps him here with Cam Ward. They have not really gone into detail about some of the changes that apparently they're going to implement here, but we'll see what that looks like by the time the game comes around on Sunday. Overall, what did you think of Mike McCoy and his press conference yesterday?
Yeah, thought he did a good job, handled it professionally. There was definitely some human moments in there. I thought, I guess probably the football / Cam stuff that was most, interesting. It's a cliche. It's said a lot, but I do think some coaches are a lot better than this than others, which is it's about players, not plays. That's actually a Vrabelism. Vrabel loves this about players, not plays. But the point being, what does a player do? And then let's adjust to that and build things around that rather than, okay, player, here's our system, run it well. And right. I don't know that was like the issue, here with, the early start here to Cam's career. There's a lot of issues. And I still think as big as anything is just like, there's not very many good football players on this team. But I thought that was good to hear and it will be interesting. Yeah. There wasn't a lot of clarity on things like that, but yeah, I thought he handled it well. And obviously, it's still, it's interesting. It's like he's going to address the team today, I think he said. And it is like, it's interesting to, usually it's one of the coordinators, who gets the interim job. I was trying to think of like, how many times have we seen a lot? There's more of like the analysts out there, like Schwartz here and things like that, right? There's more of like the experienced coach who's an analyst, like a McCoy.
Yep.
Who could fit into that, but I can't. I mean, you tell me. I don't have a lot coming to mind that weren't coordinators. Which means, again, it's like the coordinators, at least for part of the team, they know them very well. They deal with them on a daily basis. They're in front of them all the time. This guy's today's like, hey, everybody, my name's Mike McCoy, and I'm your head coach. I was that dude over there, kind of standing in the corner for a few weeks, and now I'm the head coach. But I mean, not that it doesn't make sense. When you have someone like that, you can keep other people in their positions. Not that what they've been doing in their positions has worked very well, but still, you are being disruptive, and you're already getting disrupted more than just firing your head coach because, of course, your offensive line coach is out the door.
Well, and a lot of times what you'll see in this situation is the special teams coordinator get the job because they touch all aspects of the team, right?
Yeah.
And then you get the special teams coordinator doing the job, and you're still not plucking away the offensive guy and the defensive guy.
Yeah.
So that's what you'll see a lot of times in this situation. But, I mean, it is nice to have, you know, the analyst in there that has been a head coach where you don't really have to disrupt anything. I mean, look, the bottom line is this is basically why teams try to avoid firing a coach in season as long as possible, because it just creates a lot of things that do not help in a football season. Like this, like, you know, look, Denard Wilson, Nick Holtz, Bones Fossil, like all these guys, they're not idiots. They know Brian Callahan's been fired now, and that probably means at the end of the year, unless there's just some sort of, you know, miraculous turnaround and Mike McCoy goes nuts here and the Titans roll off some wins, that they're all going to be out of the job, right? Like, they all know that. So, you know, I heard Charles Robinson talking about this, and we'll have him on tomorrow on the show. He was talking about this on his Inside Coverage podcast with Siciliano and Frank Schwab in the Yahoo Sports. Like, you know, when things like this happen, you know, you look around the building and all of a sudden, you know, coach's doors shut in the office and they're sitting there trying to figure out where their next stop is going to be, and maybe the focus isn't where you need it to be, and all these things. So this is why teams try to avoid this as long as possible. And bad news for the Titans is there are 11 games left, 11 this year to worry about all this.
Right. I mean, you get 17 opportunities in a year to say, hey, world, this is our product. And it's obviously been bad enough that they had to make this move, or felt they had to make this move right now. But now they have to display that product 11 more times while making – again, maybe it does help. Maybe it helps just to get the Callahans out of there. You know, it's interesting seeing all the Bill Callahan stuff out there, which I would tend to agree with. I mean, like the general – NFL media is like, well, there's a bunch of teams are going to line up to get that dude in here. And I know some people here, like I saw Keith Bulgator, like, really? Look at this offensive line. I'm like, yeah, I get it. Look, it didn't go great. I'm going to probably default to decades of a career, pretty consistent evaluation of Bill Callahan. And again, even his last stop, right? And what was going on there was like, oh my God, this guy's a mirror worker. And think that, you know, he's probably a good offensive line coach. But again, maybe it was like the end of the line for him. But whatever. I'm sure that we're going to see a whole bunch of people leave here, as we are used to seeing, and go elsewhere and do amazing things for other teams.
Well, in the short term, if you're a Titans fan, like, you know, most of the fan base was ready to move on from the coach. Like, I mean, I say that. I can't assign a percentage to it, but I feel like it was most of the fan base.
Yeah.
Ready to move on from the coach.
At least, like, knowing it was going to happen
right
at the end of the year.
And if you weren't feeling that way heading into the year, I mean, you saw some of the gaffes this year, and you're like, okay, yeah, I could probably see why they were going to move on from the coach. So you've got that behind you now. I mean, you're kind of, if you're a Titans fan, it's interesting because on the one hand, Joe, you know that the season itself, I mean, they're 1-5. They're not good. They're not going anywhere this year. We all know that. But you also have your number one overall pick at quarterback that hasn't looked very good yet, and you want to see some progression and some growth here as the year goes along. So that's on the one hand that you're looking for that. And on the other hand, there are some Titans fans that are just like, hey, can we fast forward to the end of the year so we can figure out who the next coach is going to be? Yeah. Like, that's where a lot of Titans fans are right now as well.
And I understand that. And I know today we're going to talk about the potential next coach, and I mean, we'll probably, a lot of days, have some time to,
I would imagine so,
to talk about that. But that's the thing. When you have a Cam Ward, when you have the number one overall pick 6 games into his career, at least that makes the rest of the season worth watching, I think, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I guess if it doesn't get better at some point, you're like, I can't even do this. But at least that's the intrigue, that's the storyline, and really that was the prevailing storyline before any of this stuff happened with Callahan. I mean, it is the number one thing that matters about this organization is Cam Ward. So at least you got that. And we'll see if the switching it up can help him at all. But you know, some of it is like he's got to play better. The offensive line has to play better. Also, we're going to see You know, are they going to trade a Calvin Ridley? Or are they going to keep a Calvin Ridley no matter what because they're trying to help Cam Ward? There's an interesting question. Got the training deadline coming up. Lots of interesting things other than the draft.
J.C. Latham making the rounds on Twitter. Getting some Titans fans fired up a little bit. He tweeted yesterday at 9:06 a.m. So, of course, right after we got off the air, Joe, which is where everybody tweets and makes news.
Sure.
Says, quote, "Everybody pressing the panic button nowadays." That's the only thing he said. "Everybody pressing the panic button nowadays." To which the responses from Titans fans are like, "Well, maybe if you guys could block, the coach wouldn't have been fired." Just like, all right. Good stuff, J.C.
J.C., so that's a little, that's a little comment on Amy. Huh?
I guess.
Yeah. Between that and Cam Ward demanding grass.
The youngins are around here.
I like it. Somebody's got to, Kaharsky can't do anything. He's out there crying about where she is and it doesn't work. So let's get somebody helping.
Where's Amy?
That may be the first thing we ask him, Dave. Paul, you know where Amy is today? She's still at home or is she on her way here?
I'm wondering if maybe Dennis could do like a Amy, but like as Waldo type thing. Yeah. Could we do that?
I mean, if Amy had a sense of humor to her, she'd show up this week in like a Waldo outfit. Just sit in the box.
That would be good. I heard, by the way, Stilly and Polly, my new favorite show.
Yeah.
They have a bet. I'd like to get your thoughts on this.
Okay.
Stilly is certain that Amy will not be. She will not show up at the game Sunday, and they bet a $20 bill on. Karski's like, yeah, she'll be there.
You know, I've thought about that. I really have. I could definitely see her not showing up and not wanting to deal with all the Vrabel stuff. But she's at every home game. I think she's at every game, isn't she? Like, yeah, she'll be there. I'll lean towards she's there.
I would too. I will lean toward that too. Also, on both sides of it, feeling a win.
Yeah.
Stilly feeling a win. Paul feeling absolute blowout city for Vrabel. Where are you on that?
Yeah, I think I'll lean more towards the blowout city on Vrabel.
You know what? I think I'm a little bit I don't know, man. I kind of sense that this could get interesting. As weird as that is.
From the Titan, you think the Titans are going to play better?
I think the Titans might.
I did ask yesterday if they got any pride. You got any pride at all? Huh?
I mean, we know some of them do. Like Jeff Simmons is going to come out there. He loves Vrabel. They're going to hug before the game and after anything else that. But Jeff Simmons wants to go out there absolutely ruin his day, and he is playing right now at a level that he could go out there and mess. I mean, I've watched the Patriots fair amount. Like they're 4-2. Drake May looks good. They're not, they're not like a contender.
Jeff.
They've got some holes.
Jeff, please help me. Go sack the quarterback, please. Thank you, Jeff.
Let's head to our phone line. Welcome in David to the program. David, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
Hey, good morning, guys. I think a lot of people have seen the billboard along Interstate 40, fire the CEO. I think it's time we have one in two-tone blue that says the same thing. Because until we get Amy out of the mix-up and crank her, we're going to be talking about this for the next couple of years. But anyway, thank you all. Love the show.
Thank you, David. Appreciate it. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. We are off and running today here on Robbie and Rex Row. We got a lot of things going on. Paul Kuharsky will be with us in the second half of the program. We will get into all things Tennessee Titans with him. Mike McCoy speaking yesterday. We'll continue to react to that. Plus, the Vrapester is coming to town this week. And Titans fans, now that the coach has been fired, how are we feeling about it? We'll get into all that coming up next as well. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game.
You said yesterday that you might want to implement some changes, work with Cam a little bit for some change. Can you maybe give us a kind of a broad idea of what you might like to see there?
Well, I think, we've got I'm a big believer as we go moving forward, you always got to think players and not plays. And I think we guys you look at this, we got to decide, okay, moving forward, and it's early in the week still. So each week you look at what a defensive scheme, what they're going to run, what do our players do best. So, we got to sit down and like we've done the last, couple hours this morning, getting into the game planning against a good New England team, is what does Cam do best? And what do we do best as an offense? And that's going to be every week. So that's the big thing. When we go in there, we got to look at our scheme. What are we doing? And it's going to change from week to week on what we do best.
That's Mike McCoy, the new fearless leader of the Tennessee Titans yesterday, discussing his strategy moving forward and some of the changes that we'll see. Players,
not plays, baby. We'll see some things, hopefully, that highlight what Cam Ward does really well out there.
I know it's not intentional, but on Sunday, Brian Callahan said, got to coach better, got to play better.
Yeah.
That's an absolute Vrabelism. And now yesterday, Mike McCoy says players, not plays. An absolute Vrabelism. They're like, they are rolling out the red carpet for young Mike Vrabel.
I think it probably explains that the coaches in the NFL got to find some more verbose ways to describe things, would be my advice.
Yeah, that might be good.
Can't all be Jim Harbaugh.
Yeah. What's his name in Miami, I think, has some...
Yeah, McDaniel?
He says some weird stuff that's totally off the wall and is not...
It's going well.
It's going really well for him. But, you know, he's not a total coach speaker, I guess.
That's true. Right? Yeah. He's definitely not.
Now, if somebody this week says, don't do stupid bleep to hurt the team, then we know it's the theme.
Don't do dumb that hurt the team.
I mean, Simmons...
Oh, dumb, not stupid.
Simmons said that a couple weeks ago. Yeah, when he was talking... Yeah, whenever he had his, like... personal foul. I think it may have been week one, like the Denver game. After the game, he was like, "Yeah, I can't do dumb stuff to hurt the team." And I was like, "Yeah, baby."
There it is.
I knew it'd be in there at some point. Good stuff. Let's head to our phone line. Welcome in Mark in Nashville to the program. Mark, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
Hey, what's up, Robbie? What's up, Joe?
Long time no talk to.
Boy, y'all really happy, aren't you, man? Y'all full of glee this week. Black Monday came early. You know, it was either going to be Callahan got fired Monday or he's going to get fired after the Vrabel game. Or Vrabel, he's going to come in and run the Titans up out of Nashville. I hate to say it. It's personal. It's personal with him. So don't forget that, Joe. I know you want to see the Titans play better, but I don't see that happening, Joe. I really don't. But Callahan, I hate it for him, man. He'll never be a head coach or an OC again, I don't think, man. He might be a quarterback coach. Somebody might give him a chance. Maybe he can go back up there and go to Zach Taylor and be the passing coordinator or something, whatnot. But I don't really know, man. But I mean, Joe and Robbie, do y'all think this time that they're gonna go after an offensive minded coach, one that did call plays, one that does have experience, or are you gonna go find a defensive guy? I mean, you got Clint Kubiak out there. You got some good young OCs out there that could be a good head coach for the Titans. Which way do you think they're going to lean? But, hey, man, Joe, it's nice calling in with you. Nice talking to you, Robbie.
Thank you, Mark.
Y'all think about that, man. See you later.
Appreciate you.
Yeah, it's been a minute. Good to hear from you, Mark. We're not happy. What do you mean we're happy? Well, like we're pigs in slop because someone got fired? I'm not, not happy.
No, I'm not, like, you know, excited that somebody lost their job.
I mean, look.
I have limited sympathy. He's going to be all right. He's getting paid. He's going to be fine. So
yeah, exactly. Yeah, like, I feel for – I always feel for kids. Like, kids go to school and they have to hear, like, their dad sucks and stuff like that. I mean, that's, you know, it's not their fault that anything happens. But, yes, like, these jobs do pay pretty well. I'm not happy.
Yeah, he's going to be all right.
Yeah, he's going to be fine. Now, for our purposes – I mean, I'd rather be talking about, like, big football games with good football teams.
That'd
be preferred. I guess talking about, like, who the coach could be, like Mark's asking us there is.
Yeah, I'm kind of excited about that. It's different.
It's more interesting than, like, hey, this team sucks. How much out loud? How much on the suckometer are we talking here? So
we're going to get into the coach. Yeah, we will get into that later in the show. I'm sure that's going to be a big part of what we cover with Kuharsky, too. And in the 7 o'clock hour, I know we're getting into some of that. So. We will definitely get into the coaching part of it coming up. I am interested because I've seen this from some Titans fans. We had somebody call in and say this yesterday. So if you're a Titans fan, I'd love to know where you come down on this. Look, you know, Mike Vrabel, I think, is a fairly polarizing figure around here, right? Like, there were some Titans fans at the end of his tenure who did not like Mike Vrabel and were ready to get him out of here and were glad to be rid of him when he was gone. There were other Titans fans that said, hey, you know, this guy's a pretty good coach, and I don't know that he's the problem here. We probably ought to go make sure we keep Vrabel and bring some other people in there. Now, we all know how it's played out since then. You bring in Callahan, he gets fired. Vrabel is 4-2 up there in New England, and we'll see how the rest of the year goes and his tenure goes with him. But a good start for Vrabel in New England. You know, we had somebody call in yesterday, Joe, and say, you know, now I can actually root. I think it was Adam in Portland. He was like, now I can actually root for Vrabel to lose this game again. Now that Callahan's out of here, and I can root for the Titans.
Gonna be a good fan.
Now
again.
That Callahan's gone, we can root for Vrabel to lose this game. You know, I am very interested, like, how Titans fans view the whole Vrabel thing now that it's played out the way that it has, with Callahan just being a disaster here. And Vrabel, albeit, I mean, it's six games, so I'm not going to overreact to Vrabel in New England yet. But it's a good start for Vrabel. And I think we know that Vrabel's a good coach, right? Like, did we not know that at this point?
Yeah, I think anybody who is trying to claim 6-18 his last 24, that is true. He's not perfect. He could not overcome what was going on with the roster. And he didn't do a good enough job at the end. But, yeah, like, if you're sitting here right now trying to argue that he's not a good coach, you probably should, like, I don't know, listen to a different show. I'm not trying to drive away a listener to, like go, you know, listen to, like, political radio, or I don't know, like.
God, don't do that to yourself.
Well, yeah, don't do that. I don't know, like, maybe some, like, easy listening.
Yeah.
You know, something like, I mean, it's stupid. Yes, he's a good coach. Is he a great coach? You know, let's see if he wins a Super Bowl at any point. I don't know. He's a coach who has an incredible knack for coming into a huge game that his team's supposed to lose,
yeah,
and finding a way to win. Also, he way too often when he was here lost games he should have won.
No, yeah,
that's a part of it
for sure.
You know,
but well, yeah, by the way, he's a good coach. Potentially setting up for that this weekend.
Yes,
too.
It is. Yes.
You know, my dad yesterday was like, I mean, you realize Vrabel lost a lot of games he should have won here with the Titans, and this is setting up for a perfect one on Sunday. I mean, it is.
So me, your dad, and Stilly are on the team. Who else is with us?
Vrabel
Who's with
special,
us?
Baby. I mean, we'll see how that part of it all shakes out. Like, I do think in the short term, there would have been fans that are so fed up with Callahan that even if they didn't outright say it, like if Vrabel came in here and just smacked the Titans around under Callahan on Sunday, they'd be like, good. Now get this guy out of here and let's go.
Yeah.
And now that he's been fired, I wonder if that changes here. Or are there still people out there that are like, yeah, I hope Vrabel comes in here and shows Amy how much of an idiot she is and wins this game by 40 points.
I think it's still more of that, right? I mean, if you're a Titans fan who's a devoted Titans fan who's been paying close attention. Everybody's doing it now, by the way. Albert Breer's out here writing story. Jonathan Jones, CBA. I mean, everybody's writing the Amy's a terrible owner story.
Yeah, she's getting absolutely torched around the league.
So, I mean, if you're a Titans fan who has been paying attention, then, yeah, I would say most of your ire is already devoted to her anyway, isn't it?
And yes.
So this season's lost. It's going nowhere. You want the highest pick possible. It's ridiculous. It's six games in. It's unbelievable to talk about that. But by golly, the Titans were the number one pick last year. Why can't they be again? So I think for a lot of people, it's still like, Vrabel, smash away, and let's embarrass Amy. I really think a lot of people think that. Now, some people are like, no, I'm a Titans fan.
Right.
I root for the Titans every week, every time they play. They play 17 times a year, and I sure as hell don't want Vrabel to come in here and beat them because I wanted him out or whatever, or I was okay with him being out. I think it's an interesting –
It's an interesting split.
Yeah. I have no idea how, like, what the numbers would be on that. But I don't know, man. I think it's a pretty healthy number of this franchise is a bleep show. I know we can't fire the owner, but maybe, like, some level of embarrassment will convince her to, like, you know what? I'm totally out here, Kenneth. You know, like, stuff like that. Like, give me something to change things. At the top.
I would love to know how Titans fans feel about that. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. How do you feel about Vrabel coming to town in the aftermath of Callahan being shown the door this week? We'll take your thoughts on that. Plus, we've got some things to look for Titans fans the rest of the year that could impact the coaching search that will be happening at some point after the season. We'll get into all that. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025 is our phone number.
Am I a text line solo again?
Yep.
You just quit.
I'll get in. I'll try to get back in it today.
You've quit it, haven't you?
I forget about it after I leave.
All right, well, I'll go through a few quickly. Too many crowning Vrabel and the Patriots. Easiest strength of schedule in the NFL. As you mentioned, we sat through a lot of games where the inferior team won. Vrabel is a good coach, but he was like the cute girl that only dates bum-ass delinquents when selecting his assistants. Wow. Mm-hmm. Okay. Chip from Mount Juliet says, Vrabel's a good coach, but he should enjoy some success up there before his act wears thin.
Okay.
Yeah, I think Vrabel, talent-wise, was the best head coach in Titans history, and ownership is the reason he isn't here, because he was a butthole. A lot of, you know, you guys are really not holding back on some of this stuff. I'll take Vrabel winning by 30, embarrassing Amy, and continuing to build the Fire Chad Brinker campaign.
So that's who we've moved on to next now.
Yeah. That's,
Titans fans have zeroed in.
He's next, yeah. And I think he knows that. Vrabel's a good coach. There's another texter. Vrabel's a good coach, but there are so many people acting like he was some sacred football figure that never lost when he was fired. Yeah, I mean, again, he's a good coach.
Yeah.
He is a good coach. He's not a legendary coach. Is he the greatest coach in Titans history? I mean, I'd have to go with the guy who brought him to the Super Bowl, yep. Jeff Fisher. But over a long period of time, Jeff Fisher did have a lot of like mediocre teams. I mean, yep. You could argue like that when it's all said and done, when Vrabel's career is done, will he be the best coach to have coached the Tennessee Titans? I think that that is possible.
Well, I think
but
so.
We don't know.
We'll see
who's coming.
Well, I would also say this, and this kind of takes it back to the Titans front of. Of the four massive moves that have been made from a personnel standpoint the last 4 years, the firings, right? J-Rob, Vrabel, Carthon, now Callahan. I mean, Vrabel was the one that...
Biggest mistake.
By far, the biggest mistake. Now, the timing of J-Rob was dumb, and I think we all agree with that. But, you know, it was trending in a way with the drafts that had they got to the end of that 2022 season... And she had fired Robinson after the year. I mean, even if you didn't necessarily agree with it, you could have understood it.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
That would have been a hot debate.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
So, but it just, I mean, the timing of when she did it was just ridiculous.
Absurd. To me, I truly believe collapsed them.
Yeah.
At least in the early going and is why they didn't win the division.
Yeah.
And they still would have won the division.
Exactly. So... Like, I think Vrabel was the one, I mean, we said it at the time, and there were Titans fans that vehemently disagreed with us, and that's fine. Like, if you thought Vrabel was, it was time for Vrabel to go at the end of the year, that's fine. Like, I don't have a huge problem with that. But, like, I remember when they fired him, I was like, this is stupid. Like, this is a big mistake. And when's the next time they're going to get a head coach that's as good as Mike Vrabel? We'll see. They got another opportunity coming up. We'll see if they can find one.
Yeah. 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 I mean, at least they keep trying quickly.
That's true.
And keep ripping through them to see if you can find one. Skyler says, I'm going to the game Sunday and holding up a big-ass sign that says, Vrabel, take us with you, while wearing my Jeff Simmons jersey. I like that. It's a real contrast, you know, the duality of the Titans fan.
It's good. Yeah, good stuff.
Very nice.
We will get into more of the Vrabel stuff with Kuharski coming up a little bit later in the show, which I'm sure he's got a lot of thoughts on, which we will do that.
He loves sucking up to Vrabel.
As he joins us in the second half of the program. Joe, as we're looking ahead here, and we're going to get pretty heavy into the coaching stuff here over the next little bit, and we've got some thoughts on Mike McCarthy coming up a little bit later in the show, revisiting something that Charles Robinson told us on the program a couple of weeks ago. But if you're a Titans fan, we've gone through some of the names that are out there already. One thing we haven't seen yet, and we'll see how the rest of the season plays out. Again, 11 games left, so get excited. There are going to be some coaches that have jobs right now, Joe, that will not have jobs at the end of the year. And how is that going to impact the Titans head coaching search? So if you're a Titans fan and you're keeping an eye on the rest of the league and you're trying to, group all these guys into one big coaching pool, who are some names that stand out to you to where Titans fans should have their eye on moving forward?
Well, first of all, I think one of the most popular, and I think this is a Mike Herndon thing, but I've seen other people say it. Maybe Mike Herndon put it in everybody's mind. I don't know, but it's a popular one, which is, I think we've talked about it. What about failed head coach, very good coordinator, Robert Saleh? There's your culture guy. Now, there are some concerning things about when he was – I know the Jets are like, they can just make anything look terrible. I understand that. Like Justin Fields – was not good enough and all that stuff, and now all of a sudden he cannot throw a pass because he's with the Jets.
Yep.
Aaron Glenn is a great coordinator. It's like, oh, my God, get out of town. He can't win a game. So, like, keep that in mind for how bad it was for Saleh. But, Saleh, if you believe that he could you know, be that guy at a new place, and then Mike McDaniel as the OC. So Mike McDaniel, now that would be obviously taking Saleh back away from the Niners, but that would be,
yep.
There's a fired. I don't think anybody's going to be hot for Mike McDaniel as a head coach. I think
no.
But what he is, there's no question what he is an elite designer of offense.
Yes, for sure.
So, like, whereas Brian Callahan goes into the market, I don't know what's next for him. Like, the technical offensive stuff wasn't good here.
Vanderbilt.
Actually, that's not a bad idea. That is not a bad idea at all. You stay in town, go hang out a little bit with Clark. Yeah, okay, I like it. Do you have inside information?
No, I'm just throwing. Right. I knew they're friends.
Okay, that is true. Good call. Mike McDaniel, I think, probably has teams that are interested in him.
I would assume so.
Right? So that's, you know, that's an interesting thought for whoever might be the head coach. If it's not the model, if it's not the I'm the head coach and the play caller model, Mike McDaniel's an interesting thought. Look, I think it's not realistic that John Harbaugh is going to lose a job. I heard like on Sportsish talking about, you know, that like him being on the hot seat. I guess, you know, do they totally bottom out? They get Lamar back and they still bottom out. It's been a tremendously long time. There was a fair point brought up by Chris Candy about the fact that he has not had like a playoff run in a long, long time. It's hard for me to believe that would happen. If it were to happen, then I think a whole bunch of teams would be all over that dude.
Yes.
If Mike Tomlin happens, and it doesn't look like it is, because it looks like they're going to have a pretty good year. I mean, my gosh, right now, I mean, they're running away with the AFC North.
Yeah.
So it would have to be a collapse. Now, I also don't think there's a huge margin for error for that team. I think they could lose. Aaron Rodgers looks good. He doesn't look incredible. Keep an open mind. Do the Steelers at some point, if they go 9-8, do they finally get sick of that with Tomlin? If that's the case, again, I know Steelers fans might argue against this, but the teams will be lining up.
He will be very
Tomlin. Yes. Teams will be lining up. So those are like, those are some of like your, you know, sort of like your dream. Now, more likely to be fired, but could be interesting. What about Brian Daboll? Now, I understand there's been some goofy stuff there, and my God, does he scream at like the spotter, you know, the concussion spot.
Stay out of the injury tent.
Jeez, calm down, bro. He clearly, you have to give him some credit. Like, I cannot look at the path of Josh Allen and the early going of Josh Allen. That was a great variable special, by the way. Ooh, that loss at Buffalo in 2018. Oh, my goodness. I mean, Josh Allen. I would have been a better quarterback than Josh Allen that day. But anyway, look at how much better he got. Daboll was there for that. And, you know, Daniel Jones, you know, that it was good, then it was bad. He's going to potentially be out there. Is he? I know a lot of people would be like, Daboll, but I'm good. You're good? You're out on that?
Okay.
I'm not as down on him as you or as some.
There's a guy that I'm really interested to see what happens with him this year, because we know they're going to be bad, and they're going to be bad for the second year in a row, like really bad. And that place it's like the Jets, and it's the Browns. Stefanski,
I think he's
a good coach, and I think the quarterback position and how the ownership has handled all that, starting with Deshaun Watson and letting Mayfield go and all these things, like it's been an unmitigated disaster at quarterback for Cleveland. And it's hard for any coach to overcome that. Now, this is the same guy also a couple years ago that made the playoffs with Joe Flacco as the quarterback. You know, his record, when you look at the end of his tenure in Cleveland, if it ends this year, it's not going to be all that good, but I still think he's a good coach. Like, I think he's a demonstrated good coach. Actually, I think Cleveland would be dumb to fire him, but Cleveland is dumb, so they might do it at the end of the year. That would be the guy that I'm looking at that, like, I'm with you. I don't think Harbaugh's getting fired in Baltimore. I know they're off to – it may just end up being a disaster of a year for them. I still don't think he's going to get fired. Tomlin, I mean, I think they're going to win the AFC North, so I don't think he's going to get fired. Stefanski, I think, has got a shot, and if he did, if I was the Titans, I would be very much considering that.
Yeah. Oh, no, for sure. If that were to happen, absolutely. Well, speaking of the Browns, now you also have – okay, so – Then you can get into history, ties with the Titans, which, you know, again, like people stop with Eddie George. If he wasn't a player, a great player for the Titans, you're talking about someone who coached pretty well at the FCS level and is just starting in the MAC, and we'll see. That profile of coach does not get an NFL head coaching job.
Yeah.
So just that's got to stop. But what about Jim Schwartz? Jim Schwartz was a great DC here. He was here, of course, a little bit with Vrabel. He's a great DC. I mean, look, he didn't win with the Lions. A lot of people, kind of like the Jets, kind of like these other franchises we're talking about.
He wasn't horrible with the Lions, though.
Right. Like, yeah, no. I think he had one or two playoff teams. I think that's right. So, yeah. No, I think that's possible. And, of course, Arthur Smith is an obvious one. You mentioned it yesterday. You know, Arthur Smith, like the quarterback situation in Atlanta was – now, granted, he has a hand in picking the quarterbacks,
for sure.
Too. So, but it wasn't ideal. And he is a good OC, and I think that I think there's something to that too. Either of those could be, you know, worth an interview for sure.
Well, we'll continue the discussion on those last two you brought up because I mean there's a clear reason why they would be involved and considered here. We'll get into that. Take more of your thoughts on who you'd like to see as head coach of the Tennessee Titans, who could become available at the end of the year that may not necessarily be available right now. All that coming up. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you on this Wednesday morning. Talking Titans coaching search. Who should Titans fans have their eye on that's currently employed in the National Football League that may not be by the time the year comes up or is a coordinator right now?
We quickly throw one from Mo here on the text line driven by WilsonCountyOnly.com, 615-737-1025. What about James Franklin or Marcus Freeman? So the college coach thing. I dunked on the Cignetti thing yesterday. Like Cignetti's not – like Cignetti – I mean, Cignetti's last job is probably going to be Indiana. He's 6'4 years old. I mean, he's a college guy. He's never been in the NFL. Now, I also kind of think that with James – I just don't think James Franklin's going to be an NFL guy. Marcus Freeman is young enough that, like, I could see that at some point. But when you have one of those college jobs that he has, what you have is – I mean, you have a – talent advantage 95% of the time.
Yeah.
That's why, like, Nick Saban went to the NFL. I was like, you know, I think I'd rather just, like, pick players that are better than all the players that I play every week, and I'll win every week. And so he went to Bama.
Yeah, like, I mean, the only thing you from one of those guys, and I've heard Dan Lanning get tossed out there too, so I'll kind of group them together, Freeman and Lanning. Like, they both have better jobs than the Titans job. I'm sorry. Like, I mean, the only thing you would have if you're the Titans is if they're dead set on being in the NFL, right?
Yeah, and there is that with all the NIL stuff. There is more of that where people are like, screw this. I can't deal with this crap.
Yeah, but, I mean, those guys.
They win.
They win.
They get the players.
And they
have the
they're
money.
Not having any problem with NIL.
Yeah, exactly.
So, like, you know, I think – and they're both young. So, like, I think the – older guys, the more established, like the Nick Saban types. I'm not talking about Saban specifically. But, I mean, there's a reason he's not coaching anymore. Like, he didn't want to deal with all that stuff because he'd been around forever. Like, those type of guys are probably who you convince to go the, you know, from college to the NFL. Like, Dan Lanning and Marcus Freeman ain't having any problem with NIL in the current landscape of college football.
Now, you mentioned Dan Lanning. You know, sometimes you have the college OC who's really good who gets pulled in. Like, I mean, Liam Cohen was with the Jags. I mean, you know, he got like what he was doing at Kentucky, kind of. Then he goes to the NFL, comes back, head coach job. But Will Stein with Oregon is definitely one of those hot names where it's like, you know, sometimes a guy like that does want to hop over to the NFL, you know. But like, do you want to go give a college offensive coordinator an NFL head coaching job?
Yeah, I mean, I think it largely. That'd be a pretty darn good college coordinator, right? And it depends on what offense they run. Like, I mean, for instance.
There's still CEO parts of this job.
There's CEO parts of the job. But, like, you know, purely from an offense standpoint. Like, you know, we talked a few weeks ago about Heupel, right? Like, Heupel, and I'm not even coming close to comparing him and considering him for a Titans job. I'm just saying, like, he's probably not a person that if I was hiring – and if I was an NFL team I was hiring, I don't think I'd consider him all that much. Not because I don't think he's a good coach, but everything he does offensively in college, you can't do in the NFL. So, like, it doesn't translate
to me. Now, I'm not saying he couldn't eventually do it, right? Like, he's smart enough to run a different offense.
Sure.
But I don't think it's a good fit that way. So I think you got to be really selective if you're going the college route, if you're an NFL team.
Yeah, no doubt. Skyler brings up Clint Kubiak, OC of the Seattle. He's good. Yeah, those, again, Kingsbury, Clint Kubiak, Cliff Kingsbury.
Yeah.
You know, these guys who their first name should start with C, but they start with K.
I got a name for you, and I heard Tim Hasselbeck throw this out yesterday. Clark Lee at Vanderbilt. Tim Hasselbeck said that he feels like he would be a really good fit with the Titans.
I think Clark Lee could be an NFL head coach if he wanted to be an NFL head coach. I don't know. I have my doubts about that. I feel like he's more of a college guy, but I think he'd be a good NFL. I mean, I think Clark Lee, as people are starting to realize now that he has players who give him a chance, is a really, really good coach. So I'm not like completely just scoffing at that.
Let me be clear. I would not leave if I was Clark Lee to go coach the Titans.
How about a swap? Yeah. Brian, you come over here. Clark, you come over here. What do you think?
Sure, Vanderbilt fans would be thrilled.
Yeah. I mean, look, Clark Lee, as I think I said earlier this, I think I said it Monday, right? Like, I mean, Feldman, or if I didn't, you know, Feldman always does a story whenever somebody gets fired a big job, Bruce Feldman for us at The Athletic. And these are reported stories. They're not just, hey, let me just throw some names out. And, you know, he talks to people, he talks to agents, whatever, talks to sources in college football. And he threw out Clark Lee as someone that Penn State might be interested in coming out. Like, yeah. We're going to hear Clark Lee, whether that's a thing specifically or not, we're going to hear Clark Lee's name.
Yes.
It connected to other jobs. What happens when you have success?
Yeah, and again, let me be clear. If I was Clark Lee, think about what I'm about to say here. I would not leave Vanderbilt to go to the Titans.
Stay in Nashville?
I would not do it.
Don't have to leave your hometown? If I was him. Stay in your hometown?
You could. You absolutely could.
Well, look, okay.
And I don't think the Titans are going to. I don't think the Titans are calling Clark Lee.
Yeah, probably not. Now, I will say that if you're Clark Lee, you know, things are going really well right now, and you got Diego Pavia, you could look forward and say, like, you know, I think it's a lot of coaches just like, okay, we got money now, but like, are people going to keep re-upping and re-upping and re-upping, and who's my next quarterback and all that? And, you know, sometimes it's just depending on where you are in college, you can look at that and say, you know what, I kind of like the idea of having summers off.
Brandon on the YouTube chat says, Ellerby for Titans head coach.
Yeah.
Glenn Ellerby in there, baby.
They do need a new O-line coach.
That's true. They do.
That is very
true. There's a vacancy now.
There is.
Would you like to come coach offensive line for the Tennessee Titans?
It seems like they're doing sort of a, I guess we can ask Kaharski when he gets here, but sort of a ham and egg kind of thing with the O-line coaching.
Seems like it.
Yeah.
Let's head back to our 102.5 The Game phone line. Driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in Rich to the program. Rich, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. Hey, I just had a few names to throw out there, and I ain't going to listen. John Harbaugh or John Gruden? Thank you.
Thank you. Harbaugh again. Like,
yeah, we mentioned Harbaugh.
I'll be surprised. Surprised may not be a strong enough word. I'll be shocked, even with how bad it's going in Baltimore right now, if he gets fired. I think they're going to chalk it up probably to just an absolute disaster of a year and try again next year. And if it's bad again next year, then okay, well, maybe we'll start talking.
I agree. If he's available, make him say no, go after him.
We're going to hear Gruden for months, Joe.
Yeah.
Like it's going to be a thing we hear for months.
Our buddy John McClain said it.
I know, and I understand. I do. I understand why. I'm with you. When you really dig into it, it's been a long time since he's been a good coach. Not saying he can't ever be a good coach again, but it's been a long time since he's been a good coach, and he's suing the NFL. So I don't think that's happening with the Titans.
Yeah. I mean, let's not forget, like, he was on TV, and he was great on TV, doing Monday Night Football, doing the quarterback, whatever, for a long time before he kind of got back in there. I mean, there was, you know, that like, he really has been detached from coaching for most of the last 20 years.
Yeah.
So he's a big personality, but I actually heard Pre-K say this on my favorite show, Stillian Paul, yesterday, and I agree. Like, sometimes it's just like, this guy's famous, so he should be the coach. Again, I'm not saying Gruden hasn't had success, but I think his last playoff win was in 2002, the year that he and Bill Callahan met in the Super Bowl. And we were talking almost a quarter century, folks.
It's a long time.
A long time.
I think there are better options.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. We're going to get into what could be one of those options coming up next with something that Charles Robinson told us a couple of weeks ago here on the program. All that ahead, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game.